Hello and welcome to podcast number 2 of Multimedia Men. We have a great show for you this week. I'm joined by Gadi Elkan, Adam Conway, and myself, Brian Kluger. We are joined by 2 new guests this week, Andrew Conway and Wade Davis. Say hello.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Andrew.
That's
Wade via satellite, via iPhone.
Via iPhone?
Satellite phone.
Andrew, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, my name is Andrew.
What are you wearing, by the way?
I am wearing pants only.
That's good.
So half a onesie.
Top only.
Top only, on the bottom. It's very complicated.
He's dogging it right now.
It's confusing a lot of people here at the table.
Especially since I'm on your side of the table. It's scaring me the most.
You can see everything.
Oh, yeah. It's
yes.
All there.
But he's happy about it.
Okay, good.
A little bit.
We'll paint you a mental picture, Wade.
But, I went to school for cinema television at SMU. I graduated in 05.
Yay, SMU!
Dallas proud. And I've always had a love or passion for movies since I was little. I think the first movie I remember actually seeing in theaters was Batteries Not Included. And
yes!
After
I've got that soundtrack on
pretty
vinyl.
Much hooked. And I knew I wanted some sort of involvement in doing this whole movie thing. And hopefully making movies sometime soon. Working on it. We'll
You're kind of into that right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I do kind of film and video production. I've been doing it for since I graduated pretty much. I worked staff at this newsy sports place for a while and have sort of branched out and went freelance. And I've been freelancing in town for about 5 years here in Dallas doing really awesome reality shows. So I'm
one of them is what the, working with the
I'm the guy to talk to about all the best stuff on
Did
TV.
Did you just say newsies with Christian Bale?
I had a hand in the musical. Yes, I'm not going to choreographed a few things, but I'm not really.
You'll have
to
dance for us later.
Yeah. Too bad this podcast doesn't really
no video
show
yet.
My dance abilities yet.
No video yet. We're working on that, folks.
But yeah, I do a lot of reality show stuff here in town, and I've gotten the pleasure to do stuff like the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders making the squad on a.
Woo!
I don't get to see the show, but it's definitely fun to shoot for sure.
Have you hooked up with any of the cheerleaders?
Tell stories.
No. That's
not yet.
There's a
no comment.
Don't tell.
This
is still filming, but maybe when the season's over or we get canceled, which
and
seems,
got big nipples
every year it seems like that's going
to
happen. But
the
there's like 37 nipples, right?
But I got Wade to laugh.
You did kill us.
So I just want to talk about that.
He can't hear you.
Oh.
He heard a little bit of, Wade heard some mumbling.
He heard nipple, and then just sent him. And speaking of Wade, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Okay, my name's Wade Davis. I'm originally from Kansas, and I went to the University of Kansas for undergrad.
Rock Chuck Jayhawk!
That's right, that's where Brian and I met. After that, I went to law school out on the East Coast, Seton Hall Law, where I kind of focused in on entertainment and sports law. There's a lot of music and contracts and sports contracts, and they kind of bounced around the country a little bit. Since then, I settled back into Kansas, and I'm fully nude.
You are fully nude. You have Andrew beat. That is amazing.
What penitentiary are you calling for? What prison are you in right now?
Leavenworth. What'd you say?
I'm sure it's going to be a full night party over there in Durian by the time everybody's done.
It's almost there now.
We're admiring your file photo right now that you sent us.
It's not often you get naked in a prison. I guess you got to take full advantage.
I feel like I'm probably the least qualified of anybody to talk about film and TV, but I am probably more opinionated than most, so I'll go ahead and give my extremely unqualified opinion as I can.
But you were involved with a film festival, and right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm on the board of the Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita, Kansas, which is one of the larger independent film festivals in the country. And, we draw from all over the world independent filmmakers coming in to show their movies in late October.
Nice.
So got that book on it. Also, I have a real passion for independent movies in general. So there's a lot of crap out there, and I find the independent still trying to keep some art going in the movie industry. So
Great, great, great. Well, like last week, we made our top, we all listed our top three favorite movies of all time. And it was actually pretty awesome. And so this week, keeping with that tradition, we're going to do the top three TV shows of all time. And I'm going to start with Gotti with his top three favorite TV shows of all time. What are they, sir?
Throw me under the bus, why don't you? Well, we were debating this, like, do we talk about those shows that we consider to be great or shows that we grew up watching?
Your personal top three favorite TV shows of all time. Not the best ones, your personal favorite.
Well, then that's where I'll go.
Clarissa Explains It All.
Clarissa Explains It All.
It was life-changing when I saw that.
Who was I didn't even think about that. Oh, man.
If I had to start with, like, the first... Like, most kids, I grew up on, like, G.I. Joe and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But the first show that I remember as a kid was The Wonder Years.
Oh, nice.
That would be
like
a
that.
Top three for sure, just because Fred Savage, Winnie Cooper, oh, God.
She's hot. She was hot recently.
Even the friend Paul was funny enough. And the big brother.
I thought was Marilyn Manson for a long time.
Which he's not. He's actually a lawyer.
Yeah.
He's doing well. So Wonder Years is definitely a top three. The next show that I loved was Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula.
You stole Andrew in his top three. Quantum Leap, yes.
There's no doubt about it. It's one of the great sci-fi shows.
It is.
The great lead actors of our time. Scott Bakula was flawless. Dean Stockwell, one of the most underrated actors of all time.
And one of the best series finales, in my opinion, too.
Which is sad. I don't own the DVD or any of the sets because of the copyright issue that had to do with the season finale. Which is one of the most emotional sequences.
It was so sad, but it was so good. There's a song in it.
It's Georgia on My Mind for all those that want to know. And if we get sued, let them sue us. Because the show couldn't get permission for that song. So if you have the DVD for Quantum Leap and that's the only version you've seen, you've not seen the full season finale with the emotional ending with Georgia on My Mind and Dean Stockwell's character just... Being with his lady, finally.
Funny you mention that because...
You don't spoil it for people who haven't seen
well,
it.
Well, I call it spoiled it.
For Wonder Years, it was the same thing with the music. The intro song.
A lot more than people think, too. Copyright
with a little help with my friends. It was different on the Netflix.
Yep. Changes the show, in my opinion, if you don't have that nostalgic feel. But those two shows are there. And the third one, just because I think... Script writing, it changed because of Aaron Sorkin. West Wing was the first show that I actually, like, paid attention to all the elements of a TV show. Writing, directing, lighting.
West Wing a lot.
The movement of this show is some of my favorite sequences are just them going room to room. I know it's been spoofed and it's been, you know, a lot of the new shows like The Office utilize some of that element too, but... I don't think anyone had the guts to do what Aaron Sorkin did with West Wing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of my... I'll watch any episode anytime.
Wow.
Awesome.
Damn right.
So you definitely like people walking around.
Fast people.
Fast people.
A lot of walking and talking. Does anybody on that show talk while they're standing still?
Never.
Doesn't happen.
Even in an elevator, they're walking and talking around.
I don't think I can do
even
that.
Even when they're sitting down, they're still moving their feet.
I've tried to do that. I've actually tried to walk and talk, but I can't do it.
If you made a show just with two people on treadmills, but they sound intelligent, I'd fucking be hooked.
As long as Aaron Sorkin did the right.
Damn right. Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah, very interesting.
Andrew, what about yours? Top three TV shows.
Sorry, I stole one.
Gotti stole one already. Talked about
Quantum So that's two.
Leap.
That's good.
Quantum Leap was definitely up there for me. I just remember I loved the whole idea, the fact that he was a different person every week. And you get to see, you learn history and all this other stuff, and you learn... So much, and it was really something that...
We almost saw him kill JFK.
JFK, I remember
but
that
you
episode.
Didn't know that Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy died, too?
Ooh.
The episode.
Spoiler alert.
Don't talk about that.
Spoiler alert, Jackie dies.
Along those,
but he saved her, so hey.
There's so much stuff like from childhood that it's so hard to pick, but I did talk about it. Saved by the Bell was definitely a big one.
Saved by the Bell! Belding, yes!
You know, after school every day, getting home, trying to finish our homework in time to watch Saved by the Bell, and that was definitely something that stuck with me and, you know, I grew with, for sure, and it led to...
I grew a lot with Kelly Kapowski.
Oh, definitely.
I bet you did, sir.
Right now,
I bet you did!
I led to the whole, you know, TGI Jesse Friday Spen. Stuff, and I'm sure people.
The,
but that was the one that stuck with me for sure.
Nice.
And then through like high school and stuff like that, it's something I'm sure my brother's going to agree with me. But Seinfeld is definitely a big one, and I'm sure it's going to be on a lot of people's lists.
Time out. This show has gone crazy. The two Jews don't bring up Seinfeld. It's the two communists.
You haven't gotten to this Jew yet.
Perfect. Right. There's so many perfect episodes, and the thing about that is like their outfits and stuff that are dated, but the writing and just the
Do you
brilliance.
Have a favorite episode?
The brilliance. Ooh, that's a good question.
I like the library one. To be
there's
brilliant.
Two many.
The contest. Yeah.
Oh.
The contest is definitely my favorite. I'm out.
Great.
True Seinfeld.
Wade, what's your favorite Seinfeld episode?
It's got to be the Junior Mint.
Oh,
the Junior Mint is so good. Oh.
But yeah, I think I actually like Dr. Tim Whatley, the dentist, the anti-dentite.
That's
one of my favorite episodes.
So,
Jerry wakes up.
Played by young Brian Cranston.
Yeah.
All right, awesome list. All right, your twin brother, what are your...
Well, he already mentioned Seinfeld, which is on my top three, you know, because you can watch an episode any day and still, like, relevant to...
Why are you a Seinfeld guy, a Kramer guy? I mean, which one was your fave?
Kramer was
mine.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Kenny Rogers
George
chicken
was mine.
One of the best. That's my favorite episode, the Kenny Rogers chicken.
George the...
I'm more like George Costanza than anybody.
Cashmere.
Have to take my shirt
that's
off to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, take your shirt off the bathroom.
Yeah, that's so good. All right, so Seinfeld, they're in.
The next would have to be the Twilight Zone with Rod Serling's Twilight Zone, not the new one. But yeah. Because there are so many good episodes in that. There's this, you can watch those over and over.
Started
again.
The careers of a lot of people, too.
Yeah, William Shatner.
William Shatner, you know, 20,000 feet in the air.
That's one of the best episodes.
The Billy Mum.
He also did the one with the little, like, devil box.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't actually bring him back for that.
Burgess Meredith wasn't a lot of those
John
episodes.
Yeah, which actually did, he was did pretty good, too. Episode. But, you know, I thought William Shatner should have come back. That's
pretty cool.
So yeah,
you guys can't see this, but Gotti's, I don't know what
playing,
is that?
Smiling,
he's playing
smiling,
with his
smiling,
hands.
No, this is money.
It's a sign for money.
Yeah.
He's saying he didn't come back because of the money.
That's probably the right. So
which
third show, though?
He's the chat
man.
Show, it's Seinfeld and Twilight Zone and what else?
I think we should make that music.
It's kind of a tie.
He's the chat man.
But honestly, both. Freaks and Geeks and Arrested Development are.
That's one of the things. I didn't have a lot of time to ponder my list. I was just there's just
was
thrown on me.
Canceled too soon.
it's really hard, but those are still really
Freaks
solid
and Geeks are
choices.
Right up there, absolutely.
Like if you see both of those are canceled too soon, like or now Arrested Development's back, but like Freaks and Geeks, you know, if you see everyone on that show is now like a big time actor.
Yep.
It's
a good list, man.
I guess he's in both.
No, he's making movies. He wrote Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, Horrible Bosses. He's directing the Vacations.
He's directing the Vacations.
I don't know
Vacations.
If that makes him a celebrity.
I like him. John Francis Daly.
Well, people know who he is.
You recognize him.
And
that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's true.
He's on one of the top rated shows, you know, I don't watch, but people watch.
It's true.
Mostly women.
So let's check in with Wade.
Yeah, Wade, what are your top three favorite TV shows of all time?
This is a really tough one for me because I tried to kind of base it on a few different things. So there's two different criteria depending on what we're talking about here. The first one I was looking at it is just pure rewatchability and pure like writing. It's got to be Arrested Development. It's on my list. Even with the new season, you know, it's just one of those where the new season's a little bit of a departure for the one on Netflix from the previous three, but at the same time they all still reference back to each other and it's one of the smartest shows written, you know, drama, comedy.
I agree. All right, number two.
So, I was just looking at pure rewatchability, and what's just something, you know, no matter when and where, I can just pop on any random episode and I watch it through, and I was really back and forth with Seinfeld, which I didn't pick, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh yes, indeed.
I thought you were going to say Friends there for a second.
It's like the same show.
No, I'm just a carry deep down, you know. in Philadelphia. It's just, you know, I think that there's a common thing with both Seinfeld and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where everybody's always like, oh, I wish I could hang out with them. But if you really think about it, all the characters in both those shows are real assholes. You really wouldn't want to be friends with any of them.
I would love to be friends with Charlie and Dennis and Mac. Frank, I do.
Not Frank.
Frank's an asshole.
Frank and
Frank's
Charlie.
Frank's bad.
Yeah.
Hurry, eat the
cat food. I'm kind of the boys. Gotta go to bed, eat the cat food.
That's so good. All right, what's
your... that contest where you can date to spend the night.
What's your third favorite show?
Third one, I looked at a different criteria here, where it's just like, one, you know, I'm trying to think of shows where I just completely geek out, and it's just one where you just, you know, where you just get all wrapped around the axle in it, and you can't stop thinking about it, and you go on the internet and look things up, and you just want to dip dive as deep as you can into it, and that was Lost.
All right, that's
one of those where I was close
to saying that same thing.
About how it ended and all that stuff, and I truly wish that it had more of a Sopranos ending where he just, you know, left it kind of open and, you know, ordered.
But with
at the same time.
With Lost, I can't remember another TV show where people got so connected after the show ended or after each episode went online and discussed it than Lost.
Just the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's the most conspiracy theory show.
Who was your favorite character, though, on that show?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's one of those where...
That's a huge debate right there.
I like John Locke a lot.
I'm Desmond.
Desmond is awesome.
Hey, brother.
I like Locke a lot.
Student of the life, brother.
What about you?
I like Charlie.
I'm leaning towards the Locke guy, but at the same time, it takes my Mr. Echo was there.
Mr. Echo was badass.
It's underrated. He went off the show, but yeah.
Stick with the concept.
You know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen season 6, go get a DVD, but Mr. Echo not coming back in the late last season is what really bugged me about the whole thing. I was hoping that they were going to figure out something to do, but I agree.
That
didn't happen.
They tried to explain that he became part of the island.
That was my favorite episode. The drama.
He was stuck. He was sort of stuck on the island.
That Charlie. That was one of the saddest.
He was sort of stuck on. Charlie.
Well, there was so much into what the meaning of that was on his hand too. That played so much into the next.
The death of Charlie.
Yeah,
the death of Charlie was a powerful. Huge, powerful.
We are everybody.
Because he was the one character that should have not been liked.
Right.
And he became the most...
Because he was one of like... Yeah.
Because all the others had good qualities about him, except for that asshole musician. And then he becomes the one that gives this easily the most emotional sequence. It's better than any time...
They were all kind of assholes, though. Like, Sawyer was a giant asshole.
Well, yeah. No,
Locke. Look at Locke. Jeez.
I think the whole
Locke
show... That's exactly... I think Charlie represented what the whole show was really all about. Redemption.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just about... every single character had a daddy issue of some sort.
Every single one.
Even Desmond.
They all had the same issue, pretty much.
I wanted more of Jack's dad in the white shoes.
Oh, yeah. They brought that back in the
last. The biggest thing I didn't like is the fact that Locke actually died. That wasn't Locke at the end. That frustrated the crap out of me, but...
I still liked it. Well, good choices, man.
I was really hoping that Locke turned into a badass.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be Locke, and then, oh, it's not? Oh, okay.
I feel like my choices can't compete.
I was robbed. Well, I feel like we were robbed of the Locke.
Brian, you don't have to do yours.
Yeah, I have to do mine.
Hey, what crap shows did you like, buddy? Go.
All right, my crap shows. Well, I'll start with number one.
Anything with Angela Lansbury.
Which you said, Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone, I can't. It doesn't get better than Twilight Zone. I think the stories, the writing, it just was so creative and so many people.
Now, what channel did you watch Twilight Zone on? Because y'all aren't the original viewers.
Nick at Night and all the VHS and DVDs.
I'm not asking because I'm like saying it's a bad
choice.
I don't remember watching it.
I actually haven't seen it. I'm just saying.
Asshole. No, man, I love them.
I've actually never seen a lot of the Twilight.
We've got them all here.
The collection.
Yeah. High five for Definitive. So that's my number one. Number two is HBO's Six Feet Under.
Ooh.
Why did that be HBO six cylinder?
Well, it came from HBO.
Oh, okay.
So I think
like
that was
a lot too. But
I never wanted HBO.
I actually enjoyed the UK version better,
but that was the most unique.
6 feet Under, I never grew attached to characters like I did with 6 feet Under in anything. Like, I was attached to those characters.
I never got into that show. Everyone says it's so good.
It changed. Especially the end episode. It's just kind of like you want to.
That should have had another season or
two. It felt like a Brian Fuller show, but he wasn't actually part of it. Like Dead Like Me, which had the same premise, and I love pushing
it. There was some darkness to 6 feet Under that wasn't on those shows. It was dark.
I love 6 feet Under.
Yeah, the finale that.
That was wild.
That was a great finale.
That was one of the better finales compared to some
It's the best finale, I think, ever made.
Quantum Leap's still the best finale ever made, in my opinion.
You have to see 6 feet Under first.
I actually seen this.
Richard
Jenkins
is the ghost of the dead.
Where it shows where they all die. It's clever.
Yeah,
it's definitely a clever ending, for sure.
And
just the emotional impact. It could have been the time in my life that I saw that Quantum Leap, but it still holds with me. That even Lost, even though Lost sucked, just the, Jack finally sacrificing himself at the end still holds with me. I'm sorry if you guys haven't seen the end of Lost.
Oh, well, most of us. There's enough time that's passed between the final and Lost that there doesn't need to be a spoiler.
So yeah, this is one thing we'll do every week. We're going to spoil a TV show.
Yes. And then my third favorite, which is definitely just personally for me, is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's
taught me to be like, not like funny, but just
it's
funny.
It's
funny.
It was
like I remember watching it with friends,
so
and it's like, oh, you can make fun of movies, and they're fun to watch, and the...
Yeah.
Amazing. And I mean, I love still
watching them. Watch probably movies you would have never watched.
Exactly. They introduced you to such horrible movies that are so good. Legend of Boggy Creek 2 or Overdrawn at the Memory Banks with Raul Julia. It's just amazing.
Such a bad one.
It's such a good one, though. So, yeah, those are my top three. And with that...
Never trust a creepy old man that shows up behind a tree. That's what I learned from Mystery Science 3000.
Yeah, that did change the way that I watch movies too. Absolutely, I agree with that. We kind of watch them like, oh, we can make fun of
anyone
this.
Could be a critic.
Yeah,
that was the great part about it. Like, you could make fun of movies then. You didn't have to give them love because they were expensive pieces of
art.
Yeah, some people made bad shit.
Pieces of art.
We need to talk about it.
Awesome. Well,
I think it's more than just that. Back when I first remember reading movie reviews, it was either you were getting love or praise, or you were getting just horrible, don't go see this. And there was nothing out there saying, hey, this is ridiculous. And there was nothing that was just saying, this is terrible, but watch it. And that really kind of turned into that third type of review.
Yeah. It's like, this is so bad, it's good. I like it.
And that's what's led to great gems like Sharknado.
Yeah, absolutely, Sharknado. So, with our TV discussion, the fall season of new television shows are coming out. We're going to move into talking about our favorite and least favorite new TV shows for the fall season on cable and television. Who would like to start out? I mean,
cable and broadcast.
Cable and broadcast. I'm sorry, sir.
Don't forget Netflix.
Or proper. And Netflix. Well, I just want to start out.
Streaming?
Let's talk about the big one. Let's talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You want to talk about that?
Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Part of me is extremely excited to see what Whedon can do with another TV show, obviously. I mean, we all...
But he's only doing the pilot.
Thing to be scared of. Also, what do they do after the first season? What happens when the movies come back?
It'll be a tie-in, right?
Will it? And if it is, then why do we have it? Why not just make a freaking
movie?
Because
they already mentioned that Coulson's probably not going to be in the second Avengers. So we'll see what...
So that means they want to extend this into four years.
That's the way they introduce new characters, I think, is what they're thinking. Like, they're talking about bringing Thor in right before his movie. So he'll have a cameo in the TV show to sort of promote the movie coming
but
out.
But
if the show is just about promotion, then this is going to suck ass.
But I don't think it'll do that. I think the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to...
Yeah.
To go... Follow, I guess, Coulson, which he did die in Avengers.
Which
supposedly, we don't know if
it'll be interesting to see how they bring him back. And I hope they explain it right off the bat, or I'm going to be kind of like...
Whoa. Agreed. And they might bring in the smaller heroes, the smaller mutants,
yes,
that we don't get to see on the big screen. What do you think, Wade?
I have a whole idea of the movies is just this big over-the-top spectacle, and having a serial drama running, you know, weekly, where it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to make you dive into the universe even further, and you're going to feel more, you know, you're going to fall in love with more characters and geek out on it and really dig in, or it's going to make it to where the events and the spectacles and the battles are going to be less spectacular just simply because
there's no budget
every week.
But I think it's just a way.
Unfortunately, I think that's where it's going to end up.
Yeah, I just think it's a way for Marvel, though. They're trying to see out how far they can push and expand this universe and how much people are willing to take. And I think it could be good or bad, depending on how they handle the situation, for sure. Because, you know, they're talking about, like, all their movies coming out. They're trying to make them into categories, not just superhero movies. It's a superhero Western. It's a superhero star, you know, universe in the sky, blah, 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 with Thor. They're trying to change everything around so it's not just a regular old superhero movie. And we'll see how long that can last, I think.
I think the one thing going for it, it is an organization, so you can bounce around the different characters in S.H.I.E.L.D. and still have a decent enough show. If they wanted to go completely outside of the box of what we're thinking, which is it's going to be a promotional effort to showcase the Marvel Universe, they could literally make it into what is Nick Fury's little fucking dude's doing.
And it'd be like
it could be entertaining in that aspect.
He could be finding, tell Coulson to go out and find these other people. Like,
exactly.
We could see Black Panther. We could see, you know. Yeah.
But they're not treated as superheroes. They're treated as the S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't know who these people are. They're trying to figure it out. It's a good introduction tool. That's how I hope the show is. I'm a little scared that it won't.
It might be filler just between each movie.
Like a threat until they're,
exactly.
You know,
well, it could be like the new office for the Marvel Universe. We all want to see the office ended. And so we're hoping maybe some mundane things they do in the office.
Like a documentary crew goes.
That'd be great.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's all been done before. Heroes, Alphas, they got a new show coming out this year, the Tomorrow People. All this superhero serial drama thing's been done.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked yet. So really what I think we can all agree on here is that if Marvel, with all their name recognition and cachet, can't make this work, this type of show just isn't going to work.
It's a great argument, but I have a question then. Why does sci-fi fail, but fantasy succeed?
Like,
why is Game of Thrones the biggest show? And it's awesome. I love Game of Thrones. Why is that something we can understand, but we can never get on board with sci-fi?
So we can do dragons, but we can't do spaceships.
Exactly.
In outer space.
It's weird.
Because superheroes are rooted in our own
situation. The issue is that when you go to the premium subscription channels and all that stuff, or even some cable networks now, they're given time to let these shows breathe a little bit. You know, when you go network shows, they give them two or three episodes, and if you're not drawing numbers, it's out. Well, it's like, how do you even explain, if you're setting up a whole universe, how can you even explain that in 45 minutes? It's like, you know, you need a little time to, you know, that was the pitfall of, I think, Firefly a little bit. It's just nobody, there was a lot going on, and nobody could get it all.
No, I agree.
It
was,
time.
It was,
you know, once you get it on DVD, you can watch it over and over again. Kind of fall into it a little bit. It's fantastic. You love it. But it's just, you have to commit. It's like, you know, it's like a marriage almost. You have to commit to watching this show.
I hope the best for it. This is because I like,
but not like Firefly though. They have the Marvel Universe. People that already know about these, you know, at least the universe itself. Maybe not these characters that they're introducing, and they're backing on fans of the Marvel Universe to come in, fans of the Avengers to come in and watch this show.
That's true. You do have a built-in.
So you have
audience.
A built-in audience already.
That's the best shot of working. Yeah, that's why this one has the best shot of working.
And
because,
you know,
you don't have to explain who Captain America is. Everybody knows.
Yeah, and then you have Clark Gregg, who's I think was one of the best parts of the Avengers. I enjoy him, and I think he can carry the show to a point, but there's got to be some substance there, or it's going to fail.
What do you think, Adam?
Did he die? What happened here?
Well, he supposedly died. We didn't really see.
He died.
Him.
Yeah,
they're gonna reveal like how he's back. Like, you know,
his conscious in a computer.
Computers. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing. But.
Oh, vomit! Let's switch to the next TV show then.
Yeah.
All right.
fucking computer generated fucking machine.
Well, no.
This show will suck.
Well, they also had it.
My Little Miracle all over again.
They had like a.
Exactly. Oh.
It's almost like, you know, where the, you know, the movie Surrogates, that's where they're kind of like.
Yeah, because that's a great fucking model to go after, Surrogates. That's a movie I want to replicate on TV.
We'll see, yeah, we'll see how they bring him back, but hey. He might not have been dead at all, you know.
Well, that was.
Why not do Nick Fury? I like to call him Fury, even though it's not Fury, it's Fury. But I call him Fury because it's funny.
What about Nick Fury?
Why wasn't he the lead character? Why isn't Samuel Jackson
the lead of this show?
I think he's not the lead.
TV's got money, and Samuel Jackson...
But then he'll make several appearances.
He'll make several appearances. He is S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's too much money.
Is he not S.H.I.E.L.D.,
he's,
y'all?
He's too much
he's
money.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
So
he
why,
runs S.H.I.E.L.D.
So why is...
A TV budget's different than a movie budget. There's no way they can afford bringing Samuel Jackson.
Oh, you could say...
Also,
he
has favors, but...
Maria Hill's going to be in it now. She said... Anyone thought she wasn't going to be, so...
So Colby Smulders?
Because
How I Met Your Mother's can't get in...
What's the last season?
Exactly.
Last season.
So I understand that. They can bring
it's
her
over. Show,
with
by
no
the way.
Yes.
It's not.
Wait, whatever. Go to...
Yes.
So much greatness in that show.
All right, so next TV show. We've talked about this enough. What's the next TV show, Adam?
There's a couple other things on ABC that I thought were worth a look. Would be the Goldbergs.
Yes!
Which Jeff Garland!
Yes!
Which is, it looks like it's a Wonder Years, cross between Wonder Years and Freaks and Geeks almost.
Exactly.
And it's set in the 80s.
What's it about?
It's about
it's
a
an
family
80s family that's
yeah.
a little bit dysfunctional because you're not sure exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. I already see a problem with that, though. I feel like those period pieces aren't really working anymore on TV. Think of like all the stuff that they try to do in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years.
The 70s show had a good run.
Yeah, but then they tried to do the 80s show, and that failed.
Because it was the same theme. I think this theme is going to be so much more like Malcolm in the Middle
and,
was.
Yeah. Well, the thing is...
And I'll have a family dynamic.
And I enjoyed his previous
show. Do people
want
to relive the 80s, though?
Breaking in.
No one liked the 80s.
No, everybody loves
the 80s.
Everyone loves
the 80s.
Retro stuff. Everybody...
Those are freaking geeks. That was like
well,
you know, early 90s.
TV shows.
That was
one thing.
Well,
like,
it took place in 1981.
Reliving
yeah.
the 80s, though, I'm not saying that a lot of good stuff came out of the 80s. I'm saying... Reliving that.
Yeah, but a lot of people have the nostalgia.
Did you see what your parents dressed you in the 80s?
I remember Hypercolor.
Oh, that's part of the element of the show. Their picture that you can see if you Google the show is them dressed ridiculously like in the 80s. And
I have several pictures that yes.
But with Garland's sense of humor and his style, he's not going to be over-the-top father figure. I think it could be an interesting little hit.
I can see that. You know,
and I love Garland. Garland's amazing. Garland, you might remember from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's one reason why
Larry David's agent.
Garland brought you in. He was
brought
the most
me
realistic
in for sure.
Character.
Him and J.B. Smooth were the two that I enjoyed.
That's but yeah, Goldberg cool. sounds good. What about you, Wade? Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard much, you know, but I don't know if I have much to throw in. I love Wendy Clinton, who was on Reno 911, the blonde. She was really funny, and she's like the mom in the show, so it could be funny. I don't have high hopes.
Mm-hmm. What's another one?
On what about like movie remakes? They're doing About a Boy on NBC.
But that's not till spring.
It's coming up.
It's far.
It's far away.
But it's not
away.
Really
it's
more for the mid-season
it's
replacement
not the
show.
Only
not
movie.
Really.
I mean, we're talking of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that. Like, do we want movies to be made into TV shows? Just a question.
Good,
it happens
good
all
movies?
The time.
Well, they don't always work out.
I agree. They,
Buffy worked out.
Terminator was not that great.
Buffy worked out.
Yeah,
Buffy was a movie that
he gave us the full universe of Buffy. It wasn't just the character her.
I kind of feel that, like he said, the full universe. About a Boy, how much more of that universe do you need?
I have faith.
I mean, the movie gives us everything we need.
I pretty much
get
everything
they
need.
It's replacing the teams.
Are they going to add a Wacky
Rider
and Friday Night Lights? So I have faith in it.
Are they
going
to add a Wacky
Rider
that we never met that it's going to just make the show great?
I'm just curious if, like, quality writers like that are brought to stories that have already been done because TV studios are scared to do new material. Why doesn't Jason have his own TV idea? He's done remake after remake after
Jason
remake.
Jason
right. Katims, you did.
All his shows are remakes of movies.
I would love to see what he
can do.
He
podcast is the guy that takes
the
old property and revitalizes it for a new audience. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, but you know
does that have to be on network TV? Is that network like is network TV suck ass now? Is that really what it's come down to?
No, they're just so much there's so much need for content, and there's not enough original content, so they need to look.
But if you look at the shows, let's take Showtime. They're showing a show called Masters of Sex. That takes balls.
Literally.
But, I mean, you've also got, like, Starz is doing their White Queen. That's a bold venture. That's an expensive...
What is White Queen?
It's a Game of Thrones with a historical relevance to it, because it's about the Tudor Lancaster War.
So, they saw what was done before, and they're sort of copying it in their own twist. So, that's...
They're giving it a real...
Piggybacking off the Game of
Just
Thrones.
Like Da Vinci Demons.
They're piggybacking off the success of Game of Thrones. They saw
that's
how
really
successful
right?
that was, and they're trying their
yeah,
own
hand. So what I'm saying is broadcast sucks and non-broadcast is good. If I never watch another ABC, NBC, CBS, or whatever...
Comedy.
I think I could get through life with happier times, and I never in a million years thought I would say that. And that's a testament to great... writers and other networks, but it's also the main networks not giving young writers a chance to do anything.
Because the main networks know they know who they're making their audience is.
Do
their
they?
Audience is older. They skew older. That's why you have 5,000 CSI shows and NCSI.
But then
because
how does a Game of Thrones do what it does?
Because you have all the younger generation pay for that. You don't see all these older people
in
their
50s and
60s.
Fans of Game of Thrones. I think they're older fans.
I feel like it's definitely skewed.
I think a Breaking Bad is not a bunch of young kids.
You have older people
Breaking
that don't
Bad.
Want to pay for the cable network. Mad they don't know how to use it.
What about Walking Dead?
They don't know how to use the internets. So they're not going to be able to stream
the
TV.
Yeah, but not all the shows on these networks are young shows. I mean, Sons of Anarchy, S.H.I.E.L.D., none of these shows were for kids. None of these shows are for teenagers. These shows are
those
for
are cable.
Adults.
I'm talking about the big three.
Dexter. I don't know any teens that like Dexter. Dexter's an intelligent show done, you know, for adults.
But
I think the adults are the
adults,
ones.
Adults, exactly. But that's what 18 to 35, 18 to 40. You know, I'm talking about the main networks are more focused on older people and people in their 50s plus.
You don't think it's the 18 to 40?
There's no way that CBS
Fox is still trying to get that demographic. But CBS is. Let it go. You know.
But then how do you explain guys like J.J. Abrams? He's got a new show, Believe, with Alfonso Cuarón from Gravity.
Because they're all trying
he
to
also
get that,
has
that lost season, success.
It's going to be awesome.
They're trying to recreate past successes.
Well, let's go back to the J.J. Abrams one. What's the new J.J. Abrams
He's got
show?
Two.
Well, okay, what's the two?
Believe is spring.
Believe is spring, so it's a little bit later. But Almost Human's coming up.
Almost Human is in the fall.
But know, what network is that on?
Fox.
See, Fox is still taking
risks. Because it's from the filmmakers of Fringe.
Well, they're also because they're the lowest one. They don't
exactly.
Make
they need
money.
To take more
NBC
risks.
NBC is actually lower than
they're not established. Like CBS.
And they're doing cartoons. The Awesomes are coming up. Is a new cartoon.
That's, oh yeah, that's awesome. Actually Hulu.
That is Hulu.
Let's bring it up though. Was that looks like a good show?
Yeah, by Seth Meyers.
So. I mean, we saw what Netflix did on the Emmys, and that opened
it's
the eyes
huge.
Of everyone.
Yeah,
and not just for cable, you know, versus broadcast, but yeah, the streaming. Could
streaming's taking over.
Thing.
That's the thing. You got smart TVs that have everything you need at your fingertips. Hulu, Netflix.
So do we need networks
Amazon
if we don't have? I mean, do we technically need networks anymore? Our networks?
It's going. They're going away. It's going to be every
you
one.
You really
the
think
other.
An NBC would go away?
They're not
though?
Going away.
Like,
they're just going to change the way they
be,
do programming.
Know,
I mean, that's obviously the argument that's being made.
Anyone
will
can,
they survive the
yeah.
influx of streaming?
But nowadays, it's like anyone can make content is what they're trying to like, show you. Even like, you know, like Vimeo.
The Emmys aren't saying, the Emmys are saying good content.
Yeah.
They're not saying, I
yeah.
mean.
Anyone can make content, but that doesn't mean it's going to be
there's
good.
There's a reason why the Emmys were dominated by streaming and cable broadcasts, because they write better scripts.
Because you have people that don't want to like get restricted by the main networks and they have their own free will to go out and do whatever they want.
But you said also that there are a bunch of replications of shows. I mean. The
yeah.
White Queen is a replication, but you know what? It's better written than anything we'll ever see on NBC.
You might be right.
I don't know. The Blacklist with James Spader, which is a new show on NBC.
I love James Spader.
It is the number one
and,
tested
yeah.
show they've ever had on
no,
the
what, no,
network.
No, so, go say that again. What's the show called?
What
the
is Blacklist
it?
With James Spader.
And what network?
NBC.
And what's it about?
It is about a criminal who helps the FBI solve, like, you know, find these people that don't even know.
Hannibal. I'm sorry.
It's basically you know, Silence of the Lambs-esque, but yes, I also want to watch it because he's a great actor.
I agree.
Yeah, it's fun.
What about a Robin Williams new
I think
show?
James Spader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Robin Williams. What's that
I
called?
Have that, it's called The Crazy Ones, and it's actually on CBS.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
It has Robin Williams, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and also
they're
James
vampire hunters, I hear.
Who
that.
Actually
sure.
tested through the
funny
roof.
Ones. The funny ones is a vampire
James
Wolker's
your Mr. Bob from Mad Men this season.
That's good.
He's on it, and he actually, you know, he was stealing the show away from Robin Williams, they said, with all the stuff he was doing. So
are
we'll
you
see.
Excited to see Robin Williams back on TV?
We'll see.
You know, it is interesting the bigger name stars.
What'd you say, Wayne?
I am so pissed off about this show. I think it looks terrible.
There we go.
I can't believe that it even made it through a pilot to get greenlit onto the air. It looks awful from everything I've been seeing about it. Like, Robin Williams over the top nonsense. I hate it. And that's probably why it's going to be the number one new show next year. But, you know, because people love... And, you know, if you love the Big Bang Theory, you're going to love this crap, too, I'm sure. Just
I don't know about that.
He brings up a good point. That's the best.
That's the best. Well, that's what I heard. You know, it's just going to be some of that stupid bull. It's going to end up, everybody's going to love it. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Robin Williams, but he hasn't been in TV in a while, like as like a recurring character. It'll be interesting to see him do his shtick. And
in
if
a while.
Still...
Was Mark and Minnie the last thing he's done on TV?
Or? Well, I mean, he's done appearances, but he's never had like his own TV show
okay.
since.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. He's been doing...
Well, once he made the transition over to the serious work, he really started shining.
Serious work.
Good Will Hunting.
One Hour Photo.
Yeah.
No,
Jack.
What about Michael J. Fox's new TV show? Are you excited to see him come back?
I'm a little scared.
Not really.
No?
No, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's had great shows.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox has always hit well.
Spin City.
I mean,
he was great.
He's always great.
So yeah,
great
intro back into
I mean, nostalgia-wise, of course, I'm on board, but... I'm a little scared that we're going to see him.
It's too formulaic. His show, is.
But it's about that, isn't it? It's he's.
Do we want to see
He plays
that?
Like a version of himself.
I don't
want
the
show.
I don't like watching Muhammad Ali. I'd rather watch Muhammad Ali shit out of Sonny Liston. I don't want to watch Michael J. Fox do what he does. I like him in Sin City.
But
That's
all
Sin
the
City.
Cameos he's had on all the past TV shows, like Rescue Me or 30 Rock, he's been good. He's been really good.
But this isn't that. This is.
But he plays like.
A quirky character that has that. And
yeah,
he's playing a version of himself, but you know you don't know what version you're getting. So
I mean, it's got my attention for sure.
Right.
I'm just a little afraid that it's going to get a little.
Do you think Christopher Lloyd will do a cameo in the new show?
See now that
no,
probably
that'd be awesome.
Once
he did it in Spin City.
Once he needed
he did it in Spin City.
Throw him in there, you know.
Well, what else is he doing? I'm sure he can find some time. I don't know. Piranha 2 didn't do so hot.
Poor Chris. Oh, he's
yeah, like
character.
Him.
Piranha,
what do you think about the Michael J. Fox show, Wade?
I want to give it a hard time, but everything he's done, I end up liking in the end. So it's hard for me to. It's too bad that he couldn't, you know, take advantage of the illness he has and just have him play like a bartender in a martini bar and just give a cocktail shaker.
Yeah. What about Ironside?
That's supposed to be a joke. I'm sorry, it landed really flat. Now it's just a mean comment as opposed to a really
barb. You should never apologize.
Don't apologize. I missed it completely. What
now who's the asshole?
I'm the asshole. Fuck me, right?
This is a NC-17 show.
Yeah.
What about the new show Ironside with Blair Underwood where he plays a wheelchair-bound detective?
Yeah.
Well,
is he wheelchair-bound?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Ironside.
Well, it's based on a...
It's based on an Ironside show, which was white...
Michael people. Ironside?
That wasn't on my watch list, so I don't know why we're talking about it.
Oh! Wow. Well, Miss Daisy.
Well, what else is on your list, then?
It's like a disabled or...
Well,
any show with someone disabled?
Kind of along the lines of White Queen, you have Dracula with, of course, the Tudors.
That's a talented actor and group of writers that were off Broadway, off broadcast.
Broadcast, yes.
And now are on network TV doing what they get to do.
That's an intriguing
show. So tell me about, tell me about Dracula. But
it's a retelling of Dracula, like they did Henry the Eighth with John.
Yeah, it's the same guy. John Rhys Meyers is Dracula.
Okay.
And it's starting out as, you know, an event type series, and it can.
Is it going to take place back then?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Not modern day Dracula.
What day is it on though? That's what scares me.
It is a weird day. It's like on a Wednesday. It's like middle of the week.
I think it's Friday or Saturday.
It's not Friday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You sure? Okay.
It's not heavy rotation.
Well,
reason, I feel like it's like they're putting that on Fridays with Grimm, hoping it's
Grimm.
No.
Because
Grimm's is another weird show.
It didn't come back till next
season. Well, do you think with this Dracula, do you think that since we've had all these vampire shows and movies, do you think this is overkill?
I think it's going to be...
But it's a different take.
I don't think it's going to be like those type of... most of those vampire shows, it's based around like CW and...
Yeah.
Like Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, and that crap, which are geared to a very specific audience, like 12 years old and Adam. And that's it.
Me and Andrew, not Adam.
They're identical. We can't tell them apart, even naked.
Well, maybe a little. But I definitely think this is much going to be much more intelligent.
Hair.
And I think this will be about Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's Bram Stoker, so it'll be scary, which is good. It's not going to be too.
You think it'll compete with Coppola's Dracula?
Fridays at 9, coming
Coppola's
October 25th.
It comes out Friday at 9? Nice.
Yeah,
it's a good time slot.
Right,
sure. Okay.
So let's go to the other side of the coin.
Fridays.
What do you think about Sleepy Hollow from the writers of Transformers?
Out. I'm fucking out on that. Done. Thank you. Tim Burton tried Sleepy Hollow. Done.
It looks like
I love the story.
Yeah.
The only reason I would watch that is if they got what's his name? The Marty McFly's dad. Crispin Glover to play Ichabod Crane, I'd watch it.
Well, I heard he's the best part of the show is the guy who plays Ichabod. So we'll see.
Who is it?
I don't know his name.
He's British, too.
I'm out. Won't watch it.
Bring up British shows? How about BBC America has Broadchurch, which they're calling the, like, murder mystery fucking show of the year. Like, it's going to... It haunted England, and they brought it over immediately. The British show, not a remake.
There's another new show that they're doing. It's their second original show after Copper. I can't remember what the name of it is, though.
I don't know.
It's supposed to be good.
I'm definitely a fan of BBC America. They don't get any love from the Emmys, which was bullshit.
They always get nominated.
No,
Black did it?
Oh.
I wish Sherlock was on BBC America and not on PBS. It's,
rights issues, though.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that those shows could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely an off-network guy. I think that's obvious.
Wait, is there any
something
show you're looking forward to that we haven't mentioned?
I think we hit on a lot of them. There's one where I'm going to watch the first couple episodes and see if you guys heard about the 100.
Which one's that?
It's on the CW. I actually didn't do any research on the CW, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's an interesting concept.
Is that the spinoff from Vampire Diaries?
No, that's
the
original.
No.
The
100 is...
That's when they send 100 kids back to Earth after it's been evacuated for like 1,000 years.
It kind of reminds... There was a show similar to that.
It's not Another Earth with Will Smith, just to make sure.
No, but there was a show a while ago that was like the 47 or whatever that was about...
The 4400.
The 4400. I get the same vibe.
Yeah, the 4400. This one is like 44 times less.
Well, it's combining
that's the line of the podcast as well.
So he's got his numbers off a little bit. 4,400, whatever. It's about the same, right?
Well, because the 4,400 was almost like a combination of the 100 and then the Tomorrow People. That's kind of what that is. So it's...
Makes them a little close encounters of the third kind.
CW was making some interesting choices because they're getting away from their, like, trying to remake the fairy tale stuff, and that's a good thing.
Well, they are remaking... Well, they're spinning off the fairy tale.
Beauty and the Beast is off to say about
Once Upon a Time in Wonderland... Which will end up being like the number two show on
ABC. I won't
ABC.
Watch that either.
Exactly.
It's
no one
not geared to us. That's geared to
Once Upon a Time. No one
watches. And you know what? They watch.
They watch it.
Yeah.
They watch it and love it.
Not for me.
And they're going to love it.
Is there any others?
Yeah, there's a couple of shows I had.
Saeed's on it. I can't believe that. He's playing Jafar.
I'm interested in Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Eddie
Jafar
Sanders.
And Alice in Wonderland. How did Jafar get in Alice in Wonderland? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
What's Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a new show from the creators of Parks and Recreation that stars... Andy Samberg and Andre Brower.
It's like Funny Cops, but looks really bad from their trailer.
Why not?
Yes.
Andy Samberg, that trailer is not funny.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg's not funny to me.
It's just not funny.
He doesn't write his own material.
Yeah,
like,
I'm hoping, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, he's got his two buddies that write everything.
I mean,
sort of
are they doing the show? Because if he's the only one writing, then I'm out.
Well, yeah, it's the creators of Parks and Recreation, Michael Shore and Alan.
They're good writers. They're funny. But I can't say
it. Parks and Rec has gotten so much better since the first season.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is the one show that's got a chance, one comedy that's got a chance for next year.
Why?
I think you got Joe Latruglio from The State.
He's awesome.
Yeah. You got the guy from the Old Spice commercials that's popping his pecs. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
Keep in mind, you're in the top 25 most watched shows. Duck Dynasty was in there. Alright, people don't want to watch smart stuff. They don't want to think. They want to turn their brain
off.
Yeah,
but they want interesting characters.
But at the same time, they do want to watch. They think a smart person's a gag to them. So that's why Big Bang Theory does so well, because they just throw out a bunch of smart jokes and that must be funny because I have no idea.
I don't know if it's smart jokes. I just think it's like references.
Yeah.
Well, then what about a show like there's the show Daddies, which is from Seth MacFarlane.
Dads, it looks terrible.
Well, it's the same concept though that we're making the argument that. Dumb makes good TV.
Well, for a lot of people, it does.
It's dumb, but rooted in something smart. That's how the Big Bang Theory does so well. They do joke per minute, and
then how is
good writers
men on the air? Let me talk about that.
Because they have good writers, and it's people. It's nostalgia.
Dad has good writers.
People are still coming back because that's what they've been doing since the show has been around. When Charlie Sheen was on it,
basically
now he's not on it. It's still coming around because they want to see what's going to happen.
What'd you say, Wade?
We really need to stop on this Seth MacFarlane and associated with any good
writing.
I
like Ted.
Well, Ted was an exception there.
But the thing is, yeah, Fox was so pissed off by not turning down Ted, they're basically going to say yes to him on anything, and that's how we got Dads. Dads is not going to last after the six episodes they ordered.
Yeah, Mom, too, so there you go. You might have a family next year.
Yeah, Mom, you know, the next Big Bang Theory.
And then they'll make the Babes movie, and we'll all go to hell.
It's me, children.
Not for me.
Yeah, are you talking like a live-action, like, Babe? The
just
movie?
Babes. Just
oh, babes.
Babies.
Not pigs. Yeah,
all right.
Not Babe.
Another, huh?
You want to...
Super Genius.
One more TV show.
Babies
one more
two.
TV show.
One more comedy that's actually going to be probably pretty funny on HBO is Stephen Merchant, who did Extras and The Office with Ricky Gervais. Is Hello Ladies.
Yes, based on his stand-up.
Is that Bosom Buddies related? Or just
No, it's basically him going, moving to the U.S. and trying to pick up girls and just failing completely.
I'm a fan of all these guys. There's a problem with their history. They never finish an effing story, and they get out of their shows before they ever get any
traction.
Which
only like two seasons.
Exactly. So why should I care? For another effing show, Ricky will be gone in a
year.
But it's all Stephen Merchant this time.
And Stephen jumped, too. Stephen jumped the office writing when they got it done with the first show. He didn't help the American at all. Like, they bounce on shows
so
damn quickly.
Is he the creepy one? Like, the skinny creepy
one?
The
tall, blonde one, yeah.
Yeah, but is it better to get out early or to stay on too long?
If you're funny, keep going. If you're not... Stop.
Some
maybe
people would say
theory.
The Office was funny, but it went on three seasons.
The first season Office was...
Why do you need to hear a story for 10 years? Can't you just have a beginning, middle, and an end?
Seinfeld. You guys didn't like Seinfeld?
There wasn't
that. It went on 8 fucking years.
Yeah, but there wasn't a whole lot of continuity, really.
Is there? There's,
I mean,
there's
continuity
to Ricky's shows. I mean, Office went on just fine as the American version.
Seinfeld would have been just as good if you dropped season 8 and 9.
Wouldn't it? Did anyone watch those first two seasons? No, that's bullshit. Seinfeld, no one got into it until the third season. The real fans of Seinfeld are like six dudes in New York. Those are the only people that like this show. That show was not a hit.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny in the beginning. People didn't
get that humor.
Most shows
aren't. They got to find the rhythm. That's what the problem with.
These guys don't have that issue. These guys come out with funny shit from episode 1, and then they retire. That's my argument. Like, Seinfeld, you...
Well, who found it funny, though, right away? It was a small group of people in the BBC, and it came...
Oh, no, I think Ricky
came to the U.S. eventually.
It hit big.
It started small, though. It still started small. It might have hit big in the BBC, but it took him a year to
blow up big. That's quick.
That's very quick. Seinfeld, after...
Two seasons, at least.
Two seasons.
Before.
But it was... Like,
it was almost canceled. The number 47th ranked show the first year.
And that's the problem. Is it takes shows time to find their rhythm.
But that's not what Ricky Gervais has had an issue with.
But like only six episodes, and it was
Office, the first two seasons of the American Office sucked. It started to find its rhythm, and people were actually getting into it. But the thing is, the studios gave them a chance because of the fact that it came from such a strong.
So yeah, I totally agree.
Same thing with Parks and Rec. A lot of shows.
Ricky Gervais' career has proven that his shows hit big quick.
He's got several shows. He's the only guy
that's done five shows that hasn't gone longer than two seasons.
What about that cartoon on HBO no one watches?
I love that show.
I love that show.
Well, no one else knows about it.
Well, true, but...
What's the name of it? Do you guys...
We're not making the argument that...
Well, you're saying that every show he has is a success. That's not necessarily true. Well, there's also the one...
One cartoon out of six shows? That's a fucking superstar.
Rick Davis' show. He had first season was slow, and it's got canceled.
No, they made like five seasons of that show. It's still going.
Which one?
Warwick Davis is still.
I'm talking about the Life Short one.
Life is Life's Too Short?
Yeah, that one, it was more. One season.
Yeah.
There's no way you can compare the longevity it took for some shows like Seinfeld to gain attention compared to the success that Ricky has had in a very limited amount of time. And then he chooses. It's not like the networks have shut him down. He always chose to end The Office early. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying. Damn it, I want him to do more. Because not that I think he'll do the same joke for 10 years, but I want to see him change his show just once. And this is an opportunity because this is the most intelligent show he's ever had.
So
other than the,
I hope
the
so.
Hello
Letters.
The other show, though, Derek, is premiering on, is it Netflix or Hulu?
And that one looks interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
That
was good. I'd say that would wrap up our fall TV coverage.
Yeah.
We talked about like 30 shows there.
In the end, just don't watch TV. Just jerk off more.
To what?
Golden Girls on DVD.
Golden Girls.
Ray's way ahead of you, so.
Yeah, way ahead of you. So we're going to move into our thing we talked about last week, our dream casting session of the Police Academy remake. So if you're listening, they are...
It's not the one with Adam Brody. That's
no.
been in development.
No.
That was one of my Mahoney suggestions.
So hold on. So they are remaking... Police Academy, and the director who they've tapped to do it is the creator of Tosh.0, which is interesting, but he's also a volunteer, he's been a volunteer for the Los Angeles Police Department for many years. He's gone through training. So all we know now...
So did all the nerds we picked on in school.
Yeah. So does that mean Tosh is going to be playing Mahoney? Is that what's going
to
happen?
Nothing said yet, but we do know that the studio reached out to Shaquille O'Neal
to play
Hold on.
Sawyer Peele from Key and Peele.
First, we're going to go around the table and give our suggestions to these characters who we think would be the best role, and we'll discuss it, and we'll hopefully agree or try to pick one.
None of us will agree.
Well, why don't we go with the character instead of like listening?
Exactly.
Yeah. Start with the first character.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So the first character, of course, is Kerry Mahoney, played by Steve Guttenberg. How do you replace Steve Guttenberg?
He might come back, though, he said.
However...
But he wouldn't be... He wouldn't play as
my pick... For playing Kerry Mahoney is Paul Rudd. I think he's a perfect choice to play Kerry Mahoney. What do you think, Wade?
It's too old.
I was thinking Paul Rudd at first, and then I realized that he's just too damn old.
Is he?
So I ended up going, hey, shut your mouth, I'm talking. No, so I ended up settling in there, because what is it? He's charismatic, he's handsome, the ladies gotta love him, so it's Brad Cooper. He's hot, he's in all the comedy.
I actually have Brad Cooper on here too.
He's
Brad Cooper.
I've got a big reason with Brad Cooper.
He's too old also though.
Yeah.
I had Bradley Cooper and Paul Rudd.
Adam Brody is the fucking one in the real show, or in the real movie. They're looking at 20-somethings.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
When it came out, what, Gutenberg was 28? So.
Yeah, those beautiful Jewish curls, though, Wade.
Like
he looked like he was 12, like it was bar mitzvah time.
Well, so what are your picks?
So my pick is Michael Cera.
I think Michael Cera would.
I have several.
Michael Cera's, yeah.
Michael Cera, no way.
His comedic depth, and this is the end.
No way. He should have
That's part of the movie.
With a supporting Oscar.
No way.
Not only is he's quieter. Gutenberg was quiet in the film. He wasn't outrageous with his.
He's
he was
not a ladies' man.
Okay, not what about not Michael
not,
Cera?
Not,
but what about
Gutenberg was
Red
ladies' man?
Yeah, ladies' man. What about James Franco then?
No way.
He's trying to surprise me. Spring Breakers was probably his best movie he's ever made. Great, and this is the end. He's growing on me. I hated most of.
You're
his
not
going to
get a
40-year-old
Paul Rudd.
Oh, you can play
really
younger.
Not.
Most people play
Paul Rudd,
and I agree with
Paul
Wade.
Rudd's fucking G.W. Bailey.
So then, okay, how about so he's got to be a ladies'
well,
man.
Scott.
You're someone that's going to attract
the. Paul Rudd's a ladies' man. So is Bradley Cooper.
Are they?
Absolutely.
Bradley Cooper.
Paul Rudd.
I have Brett Harrison. You know the guy who starred in Reaper, who's really.
Oh, okay, now there's a younger actor that's good.
I liked him in Reaper.
I don't think you can get an actor over.
And the loop.
But the problem with that though is ladies. He's supposed to be a ladies' man. The problem is
I was like Chris Evans.
He's more of a nerdier guy.
I'm not going to go.
I would go with Jay Baruchel. Why not him?
I have James Franco and Jay Baruchel as other characters.
I said Adam Scott, but he's.
But you're talking about Kerry Mahoney. Paul Rudd, Bradley Cooper, I think, would be...
Now, which Mahoney are you looking at? Police Academy, the first one, or the next three?
If you're going younger, Miles Teller from Spectacular Now might be a good choice.
That's a good one. He's got a lot of scars.
What do you think, Wade? What do you think, Wade, about all these suggestions?
Oh, I know. That was creepy.
The issue is, Gutenberg, it's not necessarily that he's the pretty boy as much as just extremely charismatic.
Yeah.
So, you got to focus on somebody that it's like people are kind of just that's drawn. Right. That's the character. It's not really arrogant, it's just as much as it is charisma.
That says James Franco.
No way.
That statement said James Franco. I'm not a huge James Franco fan. I do not like the guy, but I can see him playing that role. Unfortunately,
not for Mahoney.
See, Mahoney's...
I have Franco on this
list,
but not for
Mahoney.
Mahoney's
tough. That's the problem.
All right, we'll move on.
He's going to win.
All right, we'll cast the character Karen Thompson, played by Kim Cattrall, in the original film. And I have Elizabeth Banks or Heather Graham.
Both too old.
Oh, you know who we just saw in a great movie called Lovelace? Amanda Seyfried.
She'd be great.
She would be awesome. She's got some big tatas.
Brittany Snow is also someone I
like. I like Amanda.
Brittany Snow is a good choice.
What do you think, Wade?
Amanda Seyfried, that's as far. I had Kristen Bell.
Oh, nice.
Anna Kendrick.
Kristen Bell's a good one.
Oh, God.
Kristen Bell's a great one.
Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. Kristen Bell's a great one. I like Kristen Bell. I like Amanda Seyfried. And I like Elizabeth Banks. I don't think Elizabeth Banks is too old.
She's a little bit old.
She's
still
way
great.
Too old. But yeah.
What? She's in her 40s, but it's cool.
We're going to talk about Heather Graham in a minute, but she's not this character.
What about Anna Kendrick?
Anna Kendrick for...
What about Amelia Clark? Why not throw that in there? Who's a hot girl?
I don't want the fucking Queen of Dragons and no.
You don't want being in a police academy? You don't want...
No.
All right. We'll move on to the great character, Lieutenant Harris, played by the amazing G.W. Bailey. I have Will Ferrell or Thomas Hayden Church for that role.
Simmons.
I have Rob Corddry or Nick Swardson. So...
Ooh. Now, okay.
Nick Swanson.
You went old for Gutenberg, right?
Yeah.
I went old for Bailey because I went really old for the Commandant. Mm-hmm. And my pick for Bailey's character is William Shatner.
But he's way too old.
What?
Hello?
Go ahead, Wade.
That's awesome. I would have never. That never came to my mind.
Shatner for Harris.
Shatner would be such a dick, and he is T.J. Hooker. I don't care how old and fat he is. That junk alone would make me shit my pants.
See, I think for what you're talking, the commandant.
See,
Lassard,
I think
if
you're old. old for him. I'm thinking
we're talking about...
I didn't think Offerman, of course.
Landau and Shatner are like the same age.
No, Landau's...
And I think Rob Corddry would be a good asshole.
I think Richard Jenkins.
I think Richard Jenkins would be a great...
Throw him in.
He's the dad's stepbrothers.
He's totally...
But like Will Ferrell can play an angry dick guy,
Is Will Ferrell old enough for Paul Rudd, though? I don't think so.
Hell yeah.
Now, if you had Michael Cera with Will Ferrell, then yes. Now, this guy, GW had white hair, man, in the movies. He wasn't young.
So I think Richard Jenkins would be great. Nick Offerman.
Richard Jenkins. Who'd you, have, Wade?
His hair and Offerman would be great.
Wade, who'd you have?
Here's the deal with me on this one, right? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get Shatner in this picture now. So he's
making the Commandant thing. The Commandant.
Shatner could be my home. But so seriously, when I have this one drafted when I was making my picks, I have Ed O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Ed O'Neill's great pick.
Yeah.
You know, he just did a Western that was, he was hilarious. And Ed O'Neill would be awesome.
Ed O'Neill's a great pick.
Or Ed Harris. How about
I like
Ed?
It better than Thomas Hayden Church.
I like Ed Harris.
I also like Will Ferrell, but I like William Shatner and Ed O'Neill. I do like that.
So, if we're looking at Hightower, other than Shaq.
Onto Moses Hightower, and Bubba, played by Bubba Smith.
Rest in peace, big buddy. R.I.P.
Who?
Bubba.
Oh, Bubba Smith, yeah.
Fuckers.
Oh.
You can't get Michael Clark Duncan because he's gone too.
Oh, that's too soon. Go ahead.
What do you think of the Rock as Moses Hightower?
I think
Shaq would be perfect. They got a lot of Shaq down.
But if you want another,
Dennis Haysbert,
Rick Fox. He was one of the best things about Grown Ups 2. Unfortunately,
that movie
was really bad. But yeah. Shaquille O'Neal actually did a great job.
Yeah, there you go.
That's just terrible. I probably want to see it. William Shatner and
Charles. Who do you have, Wade?
I can't think of anybody but Shaq in there. I mean, the problem is, it's just somebody like The Rock is just too damn charismatic. You need somebody to be awkward and goofy in this role, and I think Shaq being as big as he is has been a little bit awkward and goofy at times.
Shaq is the best casting.
Yeah, I think
he's the most complete.
I agree.
Unless they went against type and do like the Hound from.
What about like Kevin Hart? You go short.
Or the
and
guy
funny.
From Happy Gilmore?
No, well he'd be more like Motormouth.
Kevin Hart, <Yeah. laughs> Mr. Gilmore. Yeah, Kevin Hart would be great.
If you want to go to the Kevin Hart arena, why not just let's get King Kong in there?
All right, let's move on to Donovan Scott, Leslie Barbera, that character who
Barber?
Was... Huh?
Was he Barber?
Leslie... Is it Barbera or is it Barber?
It's Barbara.
Barber.
Yeah, who is Barbara.
Yeah, Leslie Barber, yeah. So, played like the bigger guy, the fat guy. I have Jack Black or Nick Frost.
Ooh, two choices. I like Nick
older,
Frost.
But I have Tyler Labine or Josh Gad.
Tyler Labine
would be great.
Who's Tyler Labine?
I love Tyler Labine.
Who's Tyler Labine?
Did you ever see
Reaper?
Yes, I love
the
that guy.
The big guy.
He was in Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
I feel like
for a little bit.
And what was the name of the redneck movie they were just saying?
Oh, with Alan Tudyk.
Tucker and Dale
versus Evil.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, sold on that.
Who do you have, Wade? That's a great choice.
I'm not even mentioning mine now, just because everything picked so far has been better. I had Jonah Hill on there, but fuck him.
He was kind of an older guy though in the thing too, so I was thinking like John C. Reilly would be great for something like that.
But
sort of playing a straight guy. Yeah, he's a little pudgy, but sort of he plays sort of a straight guy. But at the same time,
I like the Tucker Dale versus Evil guy, I like Nick Frost.
The problem is,
Nick Frost would be awesome in it.
Both those guys are too charismatic though. This guy was kind of the straight guy, a straight man in the whole group.
He was
kind of
a
quieter guy,
but Nick Frost was.
But he's also funny.
The new movie.
Like, do you want to give a Tyler Labine this week of a character? Like,
the problem is Tyler Labine couldn't do that character because Tyler is going to be running his mouth off. He's going to nonstop.
Yeah.
And that's really what the role of Barbara is more to be sympathetic and
exactly.
to take the abuse of Lieutenant Harris.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Lonely bastard like Gabriel Iglesias or something.
I
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. All right, let's
I'm just fussy.
Let's move on to the Commandant Lasard, originally played by George Gaines. I have, which we, if it's William Shatner, these are not as good. But I said Steve Martin or Michael Caine.
I like Steve Martin in there because
he's funny and he's older.
But there's a quirkiness because the Commandant didn't know any damn thing. He played it so stupid. Like the.
Like
my choices, Eugene Levy or Stephen Root?
Eugene Levy because
I will say yes to Stephen Root anything because Stephen Root's the best character actor.
But Levy plays that clueless genius so well. Like
Eugene Levy would be great.
Yeah, Eugene Levy was pretty good.
Awesome.
Wade?
I have Jeffrey Tambor.
That would be good.
That's another good
one. That's Jeffrey Tambor or Eugene Levy.
What about the really old, like Mel Brooks? Throw him in there.
He's way too old.
Is he?
And he's too silly.
Who went with Shatner?
Shatner's
Mel Brooks would be hilarious.
He'd be hilarious.
But I think Shatner's my number one pick for Commander.
There's like real men.
The Commandant was pretty much in one like.
Why don't we just have him do
moment?
Who's playing his goldfish?
What about Bill Murray? With the same sort of crazy hair he had in Kingpin. That would be great. Just the whole time his hair is just flying around.
He's carrying
his goldfish. And that's all you see. He doesn't even talk throughout the whole movie. You just see Bill Murray like once or twice throughout the whole movie.
That's a good one.
The goldfish is fucking Nemo.
I like Jeffrey Tambor a lot. That's a pretty
it's
good
underrated.
That is good.
That's a tough
You need a Jew
sure.
in there. That's true.
We
need an elderly Jew.
William, I think, and Tambor and
Gutenberg.
And producers, yes. The money.
The financiers.
The above the line.
All right, let's move next down. Andrew Rubin, George Martin character, who was the Spanish guy. Spanish guy?
I didn't have that one on my list.
You didn't? Oh, well, I have Zachary Quinto or Freddie Rodriguez.
Wilmer Valderrama. That's all they're going to choose.
Wilmer's not a bad choice.
What about Quinto or Freddie Rodriguez?
Quinto's not
dynamic enough.
Quinto's boring me.
What about you, Wade?
But Rodriguez, I like him.
Michael Pena played. Yeah, he plays a cop in a lot.
What'd you say, Wade?
So I didn't pick anybody for this one. I'm not sure. Who are we casting?
He was sort of the Lothario in the original movie.
He always wore
sunglasses. He'd always sneak off and go sleep around with Sergeant Callahan.
Yeah, so that's why I put Quinto because he's good looking. He plays suave and Freddie Rodriguez.
I like Michael Pena though. I think Michael Pena can pull everything off.
He would be funny at it too.
I wouldn't see it.
Who?
I think Valderrama could pull off the Lothario part much better.
Okay. All right, moving on. The guy who's going to play Tackleberry, which was played by David Graff, I have the perfect person for that. Danny McBride.
I thought of him, but I was going younger.
Really? I think Danny McBride would be perfect for that role.
Yeah.
I chose Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights or Alan Ritson.
I think y'all are remembering Tackleberry wrong. Tackleberry was...
He was a little older.
He was serious, and he was a little bit older. He's not funny. I thought Michael Shannon.
Jesse Plemons.
Like someone that looks mean, is tall as shit, and knows weapons.
Have I seen Michael Shannon do comedy?
Why not?
Yeah.
He was pretty funny in Mud.
Alan Ritson, he's playing Raphael in the new Teenage Mutant Turtles movie. He was on Blue Mountain State as the asshole.
He's taller.
Yeah, he's also in Hunger Games.
See, I think McBride would be... The same issue with Levin as... the fat guy, those characters are not funny. Tackleberry was like a military dude.
He was hilarious, so over the top. McBride would
try and make it, I don't know, McBride's too dynamic of an actor.
What do you think, Wade?
Well, first, saying Tackleberry's not funny is crazy. He has one of the best lines of the whole movie when he says, "Come follow me."
But he's serious.
He plays it
serious. He's a street man. Like there's always other crazy. He's just crazy.
No, you can laugh at
Tackleberry. You laugh at how serious he is.
Being that he's a former military man, and you know he's crazy. This was the hardest role for me to pick. I had three different things I could
really
hard. Off well.
Okay.
The first one is somebody with a military background. That's Rob Riggle.
Okay. Yeah. He was in
Hangover.
The Hangover.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Been on a few.
Right.
Not in my house.
In 21 Jump Street.
I wouldn't mess with it.
He shot my dick off.
Yeah. All right.
I thought, well, maybe it's just somebody that's mentally unstable and is really kind of, you know, playing it more straight, like how we're talking about. And then that's where Louis C.K. came to mind.
Oh my God, Louis C.K. would be so
funny.
He's
not scary
enough. Yeah, I can't. Yeah,
he's not
scary. Yeah, I can't see.
No, I kind of like the idea of having someone in there that you wouldn't expect, like the playing the straight man, which you know would be cool.
That was from Breaking Bad.
That was unexpected, but my third pick, and that's where I was like, "You want scary? You want unexpected?" I said, "Melissa McCarthy."
That is pretty unexpected.
Yeah.
And I could see her totally doing that.
Well, what about just
what
she
about,
was that in
what
the
about
heat? Yeah, she was that in the heat.
Is there any WWE wrestler you might have in this role?
John Cena?
I am all for John Cena or The Miz in this role.
What about Bryan Cranston? There you go. Someone mentioned Breaking Bad. He's great playing
not
a
for Tackleberry. Danny McBride, I think, is a great role.
Why not The Rock?
I would say The Rock for Hightower. Because he's big guy.
Tackleberry, yeah.
That's a hard one for sure.
Tackleberry's hard.
What about, Mahoney, I just thought, what about Topher Grace?
No.
I hate Topher.
Yeah. No Topher.
No,
okay.
No Topher.
All right, we'll move on to Sergeant Callahan, originally played by Leslie Easterbrook. I have Kristen Wiig and Selma Blair.
She was hot.
Neither one of those
are hot.
Selma Blair is
so unattractive.
Come on.
Gina Carino.
She's one of the ugliest. Gina Carino? Absolutely.
I couldn't
stand her.
She spoke, though.
Well, they'll have some of those.
I want really hot. I want Charlize Theron.
Not enough.
I want
cleavage.
A hot blonde.
Not enough.
Gemma,
she's got boobs.
Gemma Archer.
No, but Sergeant Callahan had ridiculously oversized boobs. I think there was that scene where she actually strangled.
Well, can we go supermodels? How about Miss Big Boobs herself?
Kate Upton.
Yes.
There you go.
Gemma Archer.
I could fall into those.
You don't know who that is?
Yes.
Who? Gemma.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Gretel from Hansel and Gretel?
Oh, no. What about Haley Atwell from Captain America? She was
a little
more buff, so I can see her playing a blonde, and she's got a great accent. They cry high, and she sounded real American.
Mm-hmm. So, Wade, what do you think?
Good boobs.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
This is the role that Heather Graham was all for right now.
She's
not too old. She's still hot. She has a great body, and she's
old.
It's crazy, and
skates and be performing.
There's a thousand other women that would fill this role better.
I like Heather Graham for it.
I actually brought my list of a thousand other women. I'm going to start with you.
It's a hard one to fill.
That's what she said.
That is what he said.
Eva Mendes again.
Eva Mendes.
Dude, it's even Eva Mendes, man. Super cleavage.
All right,
Rosario Dawson, if you want to...
Lazar Doss is a great one because she's tough too. All right, we'll go to a fan favorite, Lavelle Jones, played by Michael Winslow, the guy who does all the crazy noises and voices. It's hard to replace him, but I have Chris Tucker.
Your pick's good.
I have Chris Tucker.
Damon Wayans Jr. or Marlon Wayans is what
I like. Marlon.
Damon Wayans is better.
I like Damon Wayans and Happy Endings.
From Happy Endings,
yeah.
Yeah.
I like Marlon.
He does do a lot of different voices,
but I think Chris Tucker can do that too.
What about Kevin Hart?
Too old.
Kevin Hart can do that.
They're gonna choose Kevin Hart.
You think they'll choose Kevin Hart? I like Kevin Hart a lot.
He's almost
Shaq, too big now, though.
Him and Shaq together in a scene would just look so crazy.
It would be really funny.
Like, I could see Kevin Hart.
But see, the funny thing is, they did that whole thing, like, in, I think, part two, where the guy that had the neck brace, like, they always put him, because he was the shortest dude.
What about Jason Segel from Mahoney?
No.
Jason
it's Paul Rudd or Bradley Cooper.
It's, not, it's neither of those.
Lavelle Jones, the human beatbox. Wade, who did you pick?
He picked.
Are you talking about Lavelle?
Yeah, Lavelle, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, for Marlon Jones, the one I picked was, they kind of wrote that role for him because he already made all the crazy noises. So I was like, well, if you adapt it a little bit for impressions instead of making crazy noises. Then, I don't know if anybody's watched Saturday Night Live the past few seasons, but there's a guy on there named Pharrell Williams.
Doesn't he do Obama?
Obama, yeah, Denzel Washington, and Will Smith.
And Jay-Z.
He's funny.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'd see him in that.
I think that would break out well for him.
I agree. And then we can move on to Mrs. Fackler and Doug Fackler.
I didn't do the next three.
Yeah.
Well, Doug Fackler is the nerdy guy, and his wife is, like, super crazy hardcore.
Can we bring back a clone of Rick Moranis from 1980?
I said Jay Bruchel would be funny for the nerdy guy.
He was in Pacific Rim.
Charlie Day, though. That's
there
a good pick.
For him? For Fackler?
Yeah.
I say Jay Bruchel, because he's the nerdy guy. And then his crazy wife would be Anna Faris.
I like Anna Faris, or that she's nutty enough. You need a nutty girl.
Yeah.
She's definitely crazy, but yeah, you gotta throw some hot women in here. You need a few.
Anna Faris not hot?
She,
I don't think so.
I was really.
What do you think, Wade, for the Facklers?
Anna Faris is great, but if you pull up a picture, so I would definitely pick her. But if you pull up a picture of Doug Fackler and you put a picture of Ed Helms right next to it, it would look like they're related.
Yeah, because it's Bruce Mahler who originally played him, right?
And Ed Helms is funny enough to pull off that nerd.
Yeah.
Like he plays that Cornell nerd like no one else.
He does. He's really good at it.
That's a good pick.
That is a good pick. And then for...
Thank you, guys. You guys are pretty great, too, but I appreciate any compliment you.
Mrs. Fackler, though.
Let's just hang up on Wade now.
If we're going full out crazy, we should bring back Sean Young.
Whoa. Is she alive?
She is alive.
Whoa. Or Margot Kidder.
She does. Whoa.
Sean Margot. Young was good in Ace Ventura.
I'm sure Ridley Scott still has a hit out on
Mrs.
her.
I'm trying to think.
And then Officer Laverne Hooks, the female...
I went Oscar-worthy here, Octavia Spencer.
I went Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes would be good.
Laverne, oh.
Yeah, Mary.
A little loud black lady.
I went Wanda Sykes.
I would love to see Octavia Spencer, because
she's awesome.
She's fucking hilarious.
What do you think, Wade?
Octavia Spencer.
I originally had Wanda Sykes, but then last-minute switch, now starring Aisha Tyler.
Oh, so sexy, but there's no way. It's got to be like the...
Is Aisha hosting the Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
Marjorie.
So hot.
No, because the whole thing about Crooks is that she's quiet and meek, but in the end, when she outbursts, that's where the whole thing going on. So,
see, I think that would actually be a good Melissa McCarthy role right there.
Wanda Sykes is meek.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy would be
Melissa McCarthy
good
would be
as
that.
Laverne Hooks.
Because it's someone that doesn't look like...
If y'all have seen Help...
Help is awesome.
Yeah.
Like...
Why do you assume we haven't seen Help? What's that about?
Y'all are racist.
I'm taking Spencer's a good pick.
All right, so who...
I just don't like disabled people, what?
So that's our coverage for a police
academy. Before you move on, hold on.
Okay.
What about the villain, though? Chad Copeland was the villain. He was like the douchey dude.
I didn't
because I was annoyed when you didn't mention it. Because do you remember Zed, played by the amazing Bobcat Goldthwait?
That's the second episode.
That's part two.
Yes.
The
first show, movie, yeah.
I'm putting it out there anyway.
So how can you recast Bobcat Goldthwait? Who would you have in that role?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Zach Galifianakis.
Absolutely. That's perfect.
He's so ridiculous it makes sense. Or Tyler LaBine.
Or Charlie Day.
Someone older, someone younger.
No.
Doing his best Bobcat role. He could easily do that.
Lieutenant Harris
he
could be
does
dead.
It.
That's what I'm saying.
Did we go offline? Did we die?
No, we're still here.
No, okay. But who's playing
the
last
case? What about what's his name's assistant?
Lieutenant Harrison's assistant.
Yeah, Lieutenant Harrison. Yeah, it's like
didn't the Commandant have big hot women?
Really? Lieutenant Harris's assistant
that's
in every movie after the first one.
The gay bar? Is that the one?
He always, him and the, they always, hey sir! You need to have him in the movie.
But yeah, if before we end this, the villain, Chad Copeland, Scott Thompson, I think Franco would be a good villain.
Or Bradley Cooper. Do y'all remember Bradley from Wedding Crashers?
Well,
yes.
Do you remember also David Spade
was
one of the new recruits in part two.
Lieutenant Mauser.
I don't want to see David Spade.
But I think Zach Galifianakis is a great addition. I really do. That's awesome. Well, I guess that concludes our first, like, Dreamcast session. I think we... That
one went well.
Producers, directors, listen to our suggestions. I want to see William Shatner in this movie.
Fuck yeah, wouldn't it be awesome?
That would be amazing. And who's the guy from the Tucker and Dale?
Tyler LaBine.
Yes. And Eugene Levy, oh, it's such a good one.
Or Jeffrey Tambor.
Those were a good
one. I would love to see
Tambor in that role. That would be so good. All right, so we've been on for a little while, but we have to get to one more thing. We're going to do the indie film scene for August, where we're going to talk about independent films that are coming out in August and which ones we think you should see. I'm going to pass this over to Adam. He's going to lead this. So.
Angelica.
Because he works at Angelica.
An independent art house theater.
So.
So indie films for August. Coming up first on August 2nd, we have Woody Allen's new movie, Blue Jasmine.
I saw it too. I loved it. I mean, it's depressing, but it's a great Woody Allen film.
For Woody Allen, it's the most impressive female character he's ever written, because he's never had a dynamic character like that he's allowed to go so insane. She deserves an Oscar, in my opinion, for her character.
And it's already, I guess, it's
who
been
plays
out.
Blue Jasmine in that movie?
Kate Blanchett.
Is that her name, or is that just the title?
Well, her name is Jasmine.
That is the title of the movie and her character.
It's not Blue, but it's Jasmine.
Yeah.
Do they call her Blue? Or what's the significance?
They do.
There is a reference to Blue, but I think it has to do with her going from coast to coast.
Yeah,
New York to San Francisco. It is the first time
they call
ever
Blue Mile or what?
No, but it's Blue,
and it's also her.
It's the first time he's ever shot in San Francisco.
Yeah,
which is a big deal because he shows the city.
Yeah, he does, and beautifully. Andrew Dice plays in it. Louis C.K.'s in it. And Andrew Dice Clay was a great performance.
He played that Louis C.K. and Woody sort of fell for each other, bromance.
Yeah,
right?
Correct.
They're doing a movie together now.
Yes.
Because they had such a good time.
No, it's really good. It's really heartbreaking, and it's depressing, but, I mean, it's solid. It's just good.
It's got the roller coaster feel that most of the Allen films have. They definitely got those highs and lows.
Oh, yes, for sure.
More of a down, but
a downward spiral.
It's really
a downer in their lives, but as the audience, you enjoy watching them because they're kind of all little assholes.
Bobby Cannavale is amazing in the role.
That's an underrated actor.
Yeah.
So compared to his last movie, I think it's on par with Midnight in Paris.
It's not as Midnight in Paris, quirky and whimsical.
Yeah.
This has none of that.
No,
so you don't
this
feel
is old school. Dirty.
Do you feel it's going to have the same commercial success as
that? It's already made more money than Midnight in Paris its opening weekend. So.
Oh.
And I think it has to do because people are talking about
Kate
Blanchett.
Yeah.
Oh. She's Oscar-worthy in this role.
I've never seen an actress
Blanchett
like her go for this type of role. It's impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Wade, do you have anything to add?
This is what I'm really excited about saying. You know, ever since I heard last year about Woody Allen and Andrew Dice Clay together, it was one where I had to dial in, so I'm ready to see this one.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's good.
Andrew Dice Clay, great.
Yeah, it's great. What's the next one?
And another one opening up August 2nd is a documentary called Act of Killing.
Which I can't wait to see. I've heard so much about this movie. Explain it.
It is about the former Indonesian death squad leaders and how they are glorified now by everyone in Indonesia. It's almost like ridiculous to even think about. But yeah, these guys who killed like thousands and thousands of people are like the celebrities of Indonesia.
And so did they reenact it? Is it interviews?
Some of the
they brought them back.
Yeah, some of the members actually wanted to recreate and like film like, you know, they're killing people where they're actually playing themselves and also people they kill. So it's just a ridiculous concept, but it's all real.
Wow. I can't wait. I've heard a lot about it. It's Werner Herzog, right?
Yes.
No, it's actually Joshua
produced by Werner and Errol Morris.
Errol Morris. They came in, they saw a cut of the film, and they loved what this guy was doing and came in to help him, for
sure. Which, I mean, if you have those two names in your documentary, there's no point saying this is going to be a bad documentary.
Exactly. Werner hasn't done anything.
Errol Morris is the single greatest documentary.
It definitely seems so engrossing. Just the concept alone, you should go out and just watch the trailer, because it's going to pull you in. Something you would never expect would be this interesting.
The most moving film of the year?
Oh, that's so far. Maybe. I
haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Bill Station got to me, but this I think will get
to
me more.
This is, I hear this stays with you. It's definitely something you'd think about, like the atrocities of men and what we're capable of, for sure.
And it's a documentary. That helps.
Yeah, so it's a true story. It's based in truth.
Wade, any thoughts?
Forward to checking out. I can't wait.
All right.
Just so that you're aware, the phone's cutting out a little bit.
Oh, I can hear you fine, buddy. What about, okay.
Then, I guess, August 9th, we have several good movies. Spectacular Now.
Which I loved.
Brilliant.
I like Spectacular
Enjoyed
Now.
Enjoyed it thoroughly.
You know, I like that writer. I like that his
it's the writers of 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Yes, 500 Days.
They're the funny guys.
It's a duo.
I have a bit of an issue with them making alcoholism kind of bullshit. The ending of the movie is a little bit hunky-dory. It's a little bit too sweet. This movie had a nice little darkness to it, and it went away from that.
It's alcoholism in what aspect?
It doesn't... That character...
It glorifies
Miles Teller is an alcoholic like his father's character, and it gets never addressed, and he gets the girl in the end.
Does he, though? I feel it leaves it open.
He shouldn't even have the opportunity to be in that girl's life. He almost killed her. I don't see why she would even look at his ass.
Spoilers!
Yeah. And it's interesting because the director also, his previous film was called Smashed.
And it's
also
a very dark film about alcohol. Yeah. And the sister... In this one, played the lead in that one, and she's good in this one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a bad movie.
Did you read the book, though? How do we know that the concepts of alcoholism weren't addressed in the book, so therefore they weren't addressed in the movie?
Why not? That would be my question. Why not? You could do a subtle scene where he ends the movie going to rehab, for instance.
I
thought that would have been a better ending.
That movie was about that.
I feel like
that.
He doesn't need rehab.
It wasn't about that. It was about falling in love. It was
about him.
It was about
falling in love and also him coming to the realization that he's not his father. I think that was...
It was his film. It's not Shailene Woodley's film. And I don't want this to be a love story film because this isn't 500 Days of Summer. This isn't him. And even in that movie, he chooses someone else. That was the dynamic of 500 Days of Summer. He finds another girl that's not Zooey Deschanel, but is just as beautiful.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have that.
Well, but it has aspects of that for sure. It has the fact where he comes to the realization that
there's the breakup.
He finally feels that
he has one emotional scene and he's okay for not.
He
being
finally feels he's good enough to accept.
That's what
love.
I had
he,
a big.
He finally feels he's good enough to accept love.
He hated himself for
that
whole
movie. He drank every scene
exactly.
of this movie.
He couldn't see what everyone else saw, that he was a good person, and he only saw his dad because that's what his mom saw.
And in 10 years, he was trying to become his dad.
He was trying to become his dad.
He will be his dad.
But I think he finally realized that he wasn't his dad because of his mom.
I didn't see that
because
scene.
Of this girl.
I didn't see that scene.
You weren't looking hard enough.
All right, what's the next one?
Then we have a 1-2 sci-fi punch. Both starring Charlton Copley, Europa Report, and Elysium.
I can't wait for Elysium.
Might be the most...
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
It's great.
Jodie Foster, directed by the District 9 director.
Neil
Blomkamp. Don't forget Charlton Copley's in it.
He plays a badass villain. He is great.
Now, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you saw it, and it's awesome?
It is awesome.
So I see it this week.
Okay. Now, the Europa Report is going to get underneath everyone's radar.
Yeah.
That one looks interesting.
And it's about a science crew that goes to one of the moons of Jupiter to look for life. And it's shot, the documentary style, found footage type. But I've heard it's really good. So.
You know, and everyone's talking about Gravity is Alfonso Cuarón's movie about them going to space.
Yeah.
I think Europa Report has more intrigue.
Better.
Yeah.
Gravity hasn't really pulled me in.
Exactly. I mean, Gravity looks...
Literally.
It literally hasn't pulled me in. That's what he loves to do.
Now, it could... I mean, Cuarón... I mean, he's a dynamic director. Children of Men was fucking flawless.
But, I mean...
Some of the most amazing
as
shots.
As far as Gravity, Gravity is about being lost in space, and whereas...
But
Europa
this director
seems like it's
just
going...
make these simple
exactly.
movies. Like...
What do you think... Wade, what do you think about the two sci-fi movies, Elysium and Europa?
I think both. I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's just one of those where I don't know if I have too much to add here just because I haven't seen anything yet but pretty much everything I'm ready. This is like really where I like to dive in, sci-fi and those sorts of things.
All right.
You've seen Elysium, so how does it compare to District 9? Are we going to be pleasantly surprised?
Is it political?
Is it,
Yes.
It is
about
political?
Current
it's about
government.
It's about the class system, basically.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That was the best part of District 9.
Yeah.
It showcased... what we look like when we don't have aliens here. We do that shit to people.
Anyways,
yeah. That's
and
what I loved about it.
And like your own idea of basically what paradise is, because you don't know.
Yeah.
Because you've never lived it.
And let's face it, Matt Damon being a part of this project, that's a big
push.
Yeah, that's a big pull for him to say, I'll work with a second time film for a guy who made a really dynamic film. I think it's a big statement.
But from that film, though, he had support by so many people. Wasn't Peter Jackson trying to get him on Halo?
Yeah, but Peter Jackson, he's quirky enough to go after those young guys. He was that young guy not so
exactly.
long.
Exactly. He knows talent.
He also stated that he turned down working on a Star Wars film for this and also...
Which has to be a big money statement, the fact that he gave up Disney.
But I always thought Matt was always into the making good quality pictures as opposed
with
to money.
Good directors, no matter how... Yeah. how you know, how much level of experience they have.
How are the special effects in Elysium?
Oh, they're phenomenal. He knows what he
does. Does the, like, his outfit work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait to see it.
The only thing I'm worried about is the technology.
And then,
and then, although,
do they explain why he shaved his head in the movie? That's what I want to know.
No, his head was always shaved.
Okay.
All right, what else we got?
Lice, mainly. Lice.
We have another documentary that's also coming out that week, Blackfish.
Which was
controversial as well.
I heard, I've seen people on Twitter boycott SeaWorld because of this documentary.
Really? Well, it's the most extensive look into caging of fish.
See, I didn't know this was actually a documentary.
Yeah, it's a documentary on caging.
I thought it was a prequel.
The trailer is so scary, it doesn't come across as that.
Yeah, like I thought it was a prequel to Free Willy myself, but...
That's a joke, but...
Had the Michael Jackson song in there.
Blackfish looks really
good.
You
are not alone.
That's not that one.
Then, let's see, August 16th, we have quite an eclectic group of movies coming out that day, indie films. We have Jobs.
Awesome. Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Up until...
Now, I have a big beef with this. I have not seen it, but what I've heard is they don't talk about the iPhone, his Pixar involvement, or his death.
So
why did you make a goddamn Jobs film?
So it takes place from early on up until, like, the first iPod, which is, like, 92.
Why did you make a Jobs film then?
That's where they wanted. And supposedly,
Well, I don't want them to ever do it again.
Forward in time, like,
and you've seen this also.
It's a Pixar movie.
Is he better than Noah Wiley as Steve Jobs?
I prefer Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Pirates of Silicon Valley.
That's horrible to say that, because that movie's not that fucking good.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Michael Hall, Noah Wiley.
That's pretty scary if that's your argument.
It's a good film. It's a good film about stuff, and there's lots of, like, holes that they just... there's lots of holes that they just don't fill the gap to. Like, they don't talk about Pixar. They have, like, Lucas Black's character who, like, is there, and then, like, all of a sudden...
I heard Gad's character
is kind of
a pussy. Wozniak was nuts, man. That dude was nuts. Is he that crazy?
I like him.
Doesn't he own, like, a professional football team now? Wozniak?
How do you make Steve Wozniak kind of like a little...
Doesn't he own, like, the Oakland Raiders or something?
Yes, he's nuts. Wozniak is out there.
I don't think it's Oakland Raiders, but we'll figure that out in later.
All right, so Jobs and what else?
Then we have...
Lee Daniels,
The Butler.
I cannot wait for The Butler. That's going to be awesome. That'll probably win awards.
But it's Lee Daniels, The Butler. You can't say that.
I mean, Lee makes really powerful films.
Yes.
Forest Whitaker, this is his role.
Yes.
He's been waiting
I'm more interested in all the presidents and all the people playing different presidents, because that sounds like really interesting.
It's the first time we get to see this amount of presidents.
Eight presidents.
Yeah, first time.
Give me that. What's the synopsis of this movie real quick?
Forest Whitaker plays a butler.
In the White House. For eight different presidents.
Now, this is based on a real butler.
Yeah.
And it's based on his family.
So it's a true story.
Yeah. And the dynamic of it being his son growing up in civil rights movement, but also in the Black Panther age, goes against his dad's slavery.
It's going to win an Oscar.
Can anybody
name
it?
Will get him nominated.
And if Forest Whitaker wins another Oscar, that means Bloodsport wins another Oscar.
That's right. Nice. Awesome.
And not Battlefield Earth. Not Battlefield Earth.
They're remaking Bloodsport.
That was not a movie.
They are remaking Bloodsport.
This one just feels like it's got Oscar written all over it, which is why I have less interest in actually seeing it.
See, I think there is that fear, but I think it being about the presidents and being a little bit bigger scope, it'll be a lot more, you can get into it.
Yeah.
Which I like, I love The Help, but I agree, it could be a little weird with The Help. Can we talk about a local connection?
And we have another one opening that week is Ain't Them by the Saints.
I want to see that, too.
No, I've seen it. Have you?
I haven't seen that yet.
Now,
shot by?
It's by a local Dallas filmmaker named David Lowry, and it stars Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck. It's is it set in Texas, or is it actually set in Louisiana?
A little bit of both. They travel. There's an arrest that takes them across the border, and it's it's a very dark film. It's not what you may expect if you've seen any of David's previous films. He does really good work with children. He did a short last year called Pioneer.
Which is great.
That was one of the funniest and yet emotional shorts I've ever seen. This movie has obviously star power. He's been connected to Robert Redford's next film. He's doing the some other projects, but
the remake of Puff the Magic Dragon. Don't forget that.
Yeah,
he's going to be a
Dragon, sorry, Pete's Dragon. Sorry, and, not Puff. But.
Yeah, which he I also, think showcases his working with kids. Really
and he's
well.
Also making a movie which Redford is starring in.
Yeah,
about a guy who's lost at sea.
And I'll be honest, I think that movie will be better than what you guys will see in Ain't Them Body Saints. It, just because Ain't Them Body Saints is a very slow.
Well, because he's growing as a filmmaker and he's just exploring it from the
It's
process.
Definitely a first feature, and you got to give him a little bit of leeway. The fact that he's gotten this much clout is impressive.
Yeah.
But the movie won't be as like, oh,
but
you
it's
have
a good first effort.
I would say if you like the style, go check his shorts because you'll love those even more.
Okay.
But there's something there. You feel that
he's a talented writer for sure. He's a
damn
fine
editor. It's only the first
season.
Maybe season two he gets a
little
better.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
I want to see him with a project that's a little bit bigger scope and more cast and has children in it. I think this could be the next guy who makes movies where kids shine. Like
Spy Kids.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like literally intelligently done children's movie. Not fucking Spy Kids.
He's really
fucking mad about it. Not fucking Spy Kids. That was good. Almost Robert Reeves. No, fuck off.
More like maybe Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, like I get that flavor from David. He's a quiet dude, and I could see him making better films in the future. This one didn't impress me as much as I wanted it to, but you could see why he'll be a good director.
Cool. Any others?
And then, yeah, I guess the final week, August 23rd, we have another group of four very different indie films. First up, you have You're Next, which is a great horror film that has been under the radar
horror.
For several years.
You're Next.
It's basically a home invasion film where the guys are wearing animal masks.
Do you remember Funny Games?
Yes.
I get Funny Games vibe like nothing
the home invasion,
and they're uninvited, right?
Guys wearing
animal
masks.
Joe Swainberg's one of the guys wearing animal masks. Ty West is. So they actually
feel like
sort of
wearing, like,
horror
data sacks.
Do you remember that movie from the 80s, Fortress, where the guys in the animal mask terrorize a school?
Is that the Christopher Lambert?
Is that Animal Farm? Or
no.
Funny Farm with Chevy Chase?
No.
Isn't Fortress that Christopher Lambert movie?
Now he's being sick. Christopher Lambert.
Should not be. That one. I think it's called, Fortress.
Pilot Park 14.
It was really scary, though. It was like
I haven't seen that.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, you got the whole thing wrong. It was President's Mask, and it was called Point Break.
Oh, that's
shit. Right.
Would they remake that? Because I'd watch that.
Yeah, Catherine Bigelow directed
awesome.
The original Point Break.
And she has to come back and break
it.
New.
Awesome.
There's a sequel that's going
to
be coming
good,
out.
Good, they need
with
to.
With the ghost of Patrick Swayze.
Oh,
well, that's
God.
Called,
oh,
that's called,
so
that's called Ghost 2, right?
No, Ghost of Musicals. It'll be a Death
okay,
Star
so
musical this year.
As long as Whoopi's on it, I'll go watch
it. It's Johnny Colorado this time, not Johnny Utah.
Let's go.
We love
Patrick Swayze.
Then we have a Wong Kar-wai's new film, which is basically, it's called The Grandmaster, and it's the telling of the story of Ip Man, who trained Bruce Lee. They've done four Ip Man movies already, but this is a
hell yeah, very different. Ip Man was
documentary.
Ass whoopinry. This is a real look at the real dude. And this could be a great film.
Awesome. It's also really over-stylized, though, and like has like that whole like I've seen different.
That's how he makes his films, though.
Yeah.
He's not. He's done.
I'm looking forward to it. So yeah,
awesome.
The first cut of it was 4.5 hours. So we'll see what they actually end up showing us.
That was actually he was this Wade really excited about this.
Man, yes.
There's also
this is the first reuniting of the team that worked on Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon since that movie came out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they're making a sequel to that too. I heard that should be fun.
Aang's not on board though.
Oh well.
He's yeah.
Oh,
well,
that's the reason why it's not getting talked about. He's not on board yet.
Okay.
I didn't mean to burst your fucking bubble.
Way to bring everybody down, Gotti.
There's a little Swedish film called The Hijacking, which is...
I heard about that.
That actually played at Diff.
Hijacking.
Yeah.
And It's timely for sure because of all the Somali pirates. But
what's Diff? The more mainstream
Diff is the Dallas International Film Festival.
There's a more mainstream version of the
for those of you that aren't from the Texas area. Wait,
it's Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks, but it's basically the same premise where the
almost identical same movie.
Boat gets hijacked by pirates, and then the whole tension that goes into being rescued.
Now, would that be the best Tom Hanks film of the year? Because he's doing Parkland, which is about JFK.
That's true.
Is he also doing Saving?
Are they filming it here too?
Saving Mr. Banks. No, it's this year.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's going
to have three big films coming out. Tom Hanks getting his third Oscar and giving a big middle finger to
Mr. Lincoln. I read that script, and that script is awesome.
If Daniel Day-Lewis is nominated, he wins. That sucks, but he usually wins if he's nominated.
And he should. Lincoln was his...
No.
Lincoln was a great role, but that movie wasn't that damn good, but...
He's not even a movie this year, so it should be fine.
Where can we see all these movies?
Oh, the DDL method. Anyone that does the DDL method will win an Oscar.
All right, what's the last movie?
The World's End.
Yes.
By Mr. Edgar
We've all seen that, right?
Yes.
Edgar Wright, Simon Schmidt Frost, part of the Coronetto trilogy.
You know, I think
it's hard to talk about it.
It's a great film.
Great film.
It is not Shaun of the Dead, and it is not Hot Fuzz.
But it's
and
definitely
that's a bit of
no
a
man.
Issue.
No, it's awesome. I mean, nothing could be Shaun of the Dead.
This is the worst of the trilogy.
Shaun of the Dead is iconic. Like it's
It is the weakest one of the trilogy, but it's definitely
iconic. It was made for nothing. Like it's
Shaun of the Dead. If you don't take into account Dawn of the Dead, the original Night of the Living Dead, Shaun of the Dead might be the best zombie movie ever made. That's hard to beat.
Because it's made by a fanboy who knows his shit and Edgar Wright's quality, this movie shows that, but it lacks
so many great aspects
what
in the movie,
those
but
two films had.
Yes.
Like, I think people who love those films, yes, they will love this film. People who don't love those films will not like this film.
I don't know. I love this film.
I loved it.
Because you know Edgar Wright, you know Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
They had trouble ending the movie.
It does fall a little short, but...
The title, you know what? The title, bar or pub, we talked about this. That's the worst part of the movie.
Right.
The ending.
Yeah.
And how do you mess up the world's end? I thought the way that Seth Rogen and them did it with a little bit tongue-in-cheek was much better.
I thought it was tongue-in-cheek in this one. This don't not spoil it, but yeah. I enjoy it.
It's
wait,
a bit
but to be fair, you know, this is kind of like a Kevin Smith sort of thing, where the fans of this movie are the ones that are going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
And there's great chemistry with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost throughout the movie. There's so many great things in the movie, for sure.
Awesome.
The fight scenes are great.
Yeah.
He actually brings the fight choreographer over from... He brought the guys over from Scott Pilgrim, and so you get some really cool fight scenes in this movie, for sure.
One thing I'm a little bit angry, not only did he bring Scott Pilgrim's fighting coordinators, but he brought the DP. Now, do y'all know who the DP of... Scott Pilgrim is? No, you don't know that? Bill Pope.
Yes.
I know Bill Pope.
He did the... Exactly.
The Matrix.
This movie has nothing of Bill Pope in it. And that shocks
the whole
me.
Bathroom scene was definitely Bill Pope. In
yeah. The fight style, man,
the fighting
so
style
good.
Was all...
It was wrestling.
That was definitely
they
had...
used other stuff. It was awesome.
Definitely had many...
If you saw Bill Pope's lexicon, would this make the top 50 films?
There were even, like... Maybe shot for shot remake from The Matrix. So the whole scene where he walks into that lobby and in the bathroom scene, you cut two scenes together, and they'd be the same.
Didn't Simon Pegg say that one of his favorite scenes in the movie was that Matrix scene when he walks into the lobby? That's pretty funny.
Yes,
I thought I would see more of it. Yeah, and I did.
I do feel there's
maybe you need to watch it again.
You need to watch it. It's definitely a great film. It's great. It's definitely a great bookend
in my
trilogy.
Yeah,
and it does leave you wanting more.
If you're a fan, for sure you need to see this.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan,
it's great.
It's
where can we see these movies?
They're at your local cinema, including the Angelica. Check our website for showtime.
Check the Angelica. They're all playing at the Angelica. Well, I think that concludes our second podcast. We've been with you for a long time now. It's been awesome. I think next week we're going to dive into some more film stuff, some music stuff, and we're going to do a debate on the PS4 versus the Xbox One.
Greatest director?
Director's
bracket.
The next week we are going to start with our director's bracket and start going down where we've come up with a list of directors and an NCAA tournament-style bracket.
Is Edgar Wright in that list?
Edgar Wright is in that list.
Well, well, well,
well. Well, well, well.
Isn't Neil Blomkamp awesome?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's going to be awesome. So that's next week. But thanks for staying with us today. It's Gotti Elcon, Adam Conway, Andrew Conway, Wade Davis from Wichita, and Brian Kluger. We thank you. Multimedia Men.
Out.
Ooh.